Kaijus freaking clash, guys. You wouldn't believe how many kaijus clashed in this movie.
Kaijus freaking clash, guys.
They do.
So many kaijus clash.
Humans living on the surface of the earth and humans living in the hollow earth and people, you know, you might be living in the hollow earth as well, wherever you're living.
If you're living in the in-between space.
Oh, Axis Mundi. If you're living there, wherever you're living, wherever you're listening to Podzilla, welcome to the show. I'm Jaisha.
Hey, and it's me, Micah.
And we're two brothers who, for the past 3 years plus, since 2021, we have been watching through every single Godzilla and Godzilla-adjacent movie in order of release date. It's all been leading up to this, which is kind of our final movie in our Godzilla journey. The end of our initial idea for the podcast, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think counting all our main episode releases and Patreon exclusive releases and bonus episodes, I think it's our 100th episode as well.
That's not true.
Yeah, man.
What?
So this is big. This is big.
That's wild to say 100 episodes. It all lines up so well. 100 episodes. The last episode of Podzilla.
Yeah.
The latest release.
Yeah.
We made it just in time.
And if this is your first time listening to the show, or if you've been listening to us for the past few years or since we've started, we really appreciate you checking us out. We've got a whole lot of episodes on all your favorite Godzilla movies, all your least favorites, everything. But we're really excited to today be talking about Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. And if this is your first time listening to the show, you may not be aware, but we're not just your average Godzilla podcast.
No, we're not your average Titan Truthers.
No. We're not Titan Truthers. We're not your average movie podcast. We're not your average podcast, because we actually work for G-Force, the real Godzilla force.
That's right.
We are under the management of G-Commander, the Godzilla commander himself. And we've been tasked to kind of talk about these monsters, kind of reveal some of the truths that are happening in reality. Because Godzilla's real, just if you're not aware.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to the show before, we really work for G-Force, or P-Force, as we call it.
That's right. The P-Force division.
Yeah, we're in the P-Force division. And G-Force, very kindly of them, got us two invites to the New Zealand Godzilla X Kong premiere. And that's where we went tonight, Mike. And me and you were walking on the pink carpet.
This was great. I wasn't expecting a red carpet, let alone a pink one. But hey, this is what Legendary, the cover company.
Yes.
Showing that these falsified movies of Godzilla should, you know, getting the public used to his image.
Yeah. But take everything that you guys have in your mind of like your average movie premiere, kind of flip that on its head, because it was in New Zealand, right? No red carpet. We had a very small meters long pink carpet.
two or three.
We didn't have like nicely catered caviar and carapes.
Speak for yourself. We were nicely catered by KFC.
KFC, the official caterers of the Godzilla X Kong New Zealand premiere.
No, it was great though. We got limitless drinks, limitless KFC.
Limitless.
We got to our seats and there were already,
yeah,
popcorn.
Oh man,
popcorn tubs waiting on our seats.
Did you use buckets. Did you use the bathroom?
I did.
Man, what freaking sci-fi high tech stuff in this bathroom, man.
It was a pink bathroom. There was pink carpet going into the bathroom.
Kong himself handed me a mint as I left. It was amazing.
Suko himself handed me some toilet paper in the stall. It was great.
But yeah, it was pretty cool. We got to go to the premiere and now we're straight back from it. We are recording in a hotel room.
This is great. It's wild as well, because we went to the -1 New Zealand premiere.
Yeah.
And it felt like this was a, even as it is for a New Zealand premiere, quite a step up above that.
Yeah. We weren't kind of expecting how professional it was for a Godzilla premiere.
How professional with its KFC.
Yes. But just a disclaimer, we're going to get into full-blown, spoiler-filled discussion on Godzilla X Kong. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, please wait to listen to us. Wait for, wait to listen to us until you've watched the movie.
That's right. We're big supporters of, you know, going into the movie blind,
yeah,
getting your initial responses. And hey, if you want to chat about that with us afterwards, go ahead. We really want to encourage some discussion. And I think in one of our next episodes, once more people have seen it, we'll be able to get it more of a conversation going, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, we can't wait to spotlight your guys' views. But yeah, just warning, if you don't want anything spoiled, maybe stop listening now. Okay, you guys listening have all seen it? You've all seen the movie? You're ready to listen to us discuss it?
You've all come straight from the theater. Jayshia, if I might interject, I've actually got some mega news on quickly beforehand.
You've got some Godzilla news?
Yeah. So big news, Godzilla X Kong the New Empire just released.
Really?
That joke isn't as funny as I thought it would be.
That was really funny.
Godzilla donated some blood at the premiere.
Did he?
Yeah. So everybody listening, be like Godzilla. Donate some blood if you can.
What are you talking about? He didn't rock up to Godzilla.
Godzilla donated some blood at the premiere. Trust me, look this up online. You'll believe me.
All right, well, let's just get into it. Let's talk Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. Things are going great for all the humans in the Monsterverse. Godzilla is chilling out, taking naps all over the surface Earth, and Kong is keeping to himself down in the Hollow Earth. But the monsters themselves are the ones struggling. Kong is hopelessly alone. He has this large, unexplored, hidden world. But apart from a stupid little dino dude named Doug, he has no one to share it with. And Godzilla has struggles of his own. He's constantly tired and finding himself drawn to stronger and stronger sources of energy. Could he be evolving? When Kong accidentally finds himself venturing deep inside the Hollow Earth, what do you know, the Hollow Earth is hollow, he happens across a cute little monkey boy named Suko and a whole race of enslaved apes just like himself, kept captive by the menacing Scar King. Scar King just wants the power of man's red flower. The red flower, in this instance, being the freaking sun, as he hopes to become king of not only the Hollow Earth, or the Hollow Hollow Earth, but the surface Earth too. With a whole army of evil apes and a giant frost dragon called Shimo, he tries to force himself through one of the portal rift thingies, but he's stopped by the buddy cop duo, Godzilla and Kong, as well as the one and only Mothra. Kaijus clash, guys. But in the end, Scar King is turned to ice and smashed to pieces. While Shimo is freed, the apes are emancipated, and Godzilla can get some peace and quiet when he rests once again. Everyone on the Earth and inside the Earth will remember when Godzilla X and Kong saved the world from becoming part of Scar King's new empire. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. We got there.
I'm buying it. It's nice. I really want that to be the motto of the movie, by the way. Kaijus clash.
Kaijus freaking clash, guys. You wouldn't believe how many kaijus clashed in this movie.
Kaijus freaking clash, guys.
They do.
So many kaijus clash.
I mean, Micah, we have been waiting for this movie for a while. I feel like we knew that this was coming before we even knew Minus One was coming.
We did, yeah.
We got a trailer to this before we even saw any footage from Minus One.
For a good while, we thought it was a sequel featuring just Godzilla, but lo and behold, it's another Kong Godzilla duo movie.
Yeah, and I mean, seeds were planted all the way back, I think, in like 2022 with the Call of Duty Godzilla Operation Monarch. They had like an event in Call of Duty Warzone, and on one of the walls, on one of the cave paintings, was the outline, the figure of Shimo.
Serious.
So this monster has kind of been teased since back then, which is pretty cool. But we've finally seen it. What did you think? I mean, we recently on the show have covered every single Monsterverse movie. Godzilla, Kong, Skull Island, King of the Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong, as well as the shows, Skull Island and then Monarch Legacy of Monsters.
I'm all up to date on the Monsterverse.
Yeah.
We will be reading through the other graphic novels at a point.
Yeah.
But apart from that, we've seen what majority of people would consider the MV Monsterverse.
And what did you kind of expect this to be coming off the back of all that?
I mean, I feel like this movie had, ever since like the first teaser trailer, it almost had a reputation carved out for it as like the Jun Fukuda of the Monsterverse. Going back to, I've heard a lot of people saying it's going back to its Showa roots.
A lot of people saying it's going to be silly, stupid, fun, yep. And that's all it's going to be.
Jumping the shark, ever since they saw that picture of Kong and Godzilla running, it's just gained, a reputation very much mirroring that of Godzilla Minus One, where that was a very serious and stoic movie. This one's the wacky hijinks of Zuko and Godzilla and Kong and Doug and everyone else.
Yes. And I feel like a lot of people already from the get-go had like written it off.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to see this. It's just going to be like a Fast and Furious movie.
It's definitely like an uphill climb, I feel.
Yeah. I mean, we were both still excited. We've been talking about this like to each other for ages, on the show for ages.
I think there's also a point as well where if you're going into a movie like this with an expectation to at least enjoy it, you're not going to fail in that area. You're going to have a fun time.
Yeah, but I mean, in saying that, I feel like this was quite different from all the other Monsterverse movies so far. Oh. I think they've listened to what the fans have said, because the human cast in this, Micah, in the other Monsterverse movies, and we've had like 10 plus people to keep track of. Thomas Middleditch has been in there for some reason. Julian Dennison, our Kiwi boy, has been chucked in there. Millie Bobby Brown's been around.
Yeah, you have like two or three parties at least to deal with.
Yeah.
But they really bring it down to just one core group for this one.
There's really like four main characters, right? That's Irene Andrews, Rebecca Hall's back from Godzilla vs. Kong. Bernie Hayes, Brian Tyree Henry, he's back from Godzilla vs. Kong.
You got Kaylee Hoddle playing the Gia, Rebecca Hall's adopted daughter.
Yeah, the last surviving member of the Iwi.
Yeah, from Skull Island.
All back from the last movie. And then we got kind of our new character, Trapper.
Trapper,
played by Dan Stevens. Adam Wingard, the director's muse, I think.
We love Dan Stevens here.
We do love Dan Stevens. But like, that's a stark difference from every other Monsterverse product already, right? Four characters. That's pretty much all you need to keep track of.
Yeah.
And it's really, really low stakes. I mean, I said it a bit in the synopsis, but what actually happens in the movie is they figure out that someone inside the Hollow Earth is calling for help. There's like an SOS being sent out.
Practically just a distress signal, at least for the human cast.
Yeah.
Although they do have to deal with Kong's toothache as well.
We got Kong's toothache that starts us off. Godzilla's going up against Skylar, and we could talk about the monster fight soon.
Yeah.
But the gist of it is kind of low stakes. Like Rachel House, who I think she's a new member of the cast we see just for a few minutes, really. She's also a New Zealander.
Hey.
I think she's like the director of the Hollow Earth or the director of Monarch?
I don't know how to keep track of Monarch anymore, Jaysha.
She works for Monarch, but she's pretty much like, hey, Irene, take a small team. We're not even, like, we're not really going to have anything to do with you. Just go into the Hollow Earth, find out where the signal's coming from.
Add however many people you want. Take or leave Brian. Take or leave Bernie.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a very stark difference to, I mean, even the last movie, it feels like you have this organization, Monarch, that has global coverage, outposts every single country of the world with like 10 different heads of teams all over the place.
Yeah.
So much different, because as soon as we leave the Monarch facility, we kind of leave Monarch for the movie.
Yeah, and that's what I love, because I was getting so sick of Monarch being able to do anything and fix any situation and always being there, always being all powerful, always having 100 people that you need to see. Mm.
Especially just after watching the Monarch Legacy of Monsters show, like, we've seen enough Monarch to last a good while.
Yeah.
Let's see other areas of the Monsterverse that do warrant some exploring.
So it's kind of just these four guys. As they go into the Hollow Earth, they find an Iwi tribe that's still alive there. And that's pretty much all they do, is like they go there, meet the Iwi tribe, and then they're reacting and watching as Kong goes up against Scar King and Godzilla joins and goes up against Shima.
Mm. I think that's where I would say the biggest difference of this movie comes in, is that usually when we watch through Godzilla movies, you have the kaiju half of the movie, which is your fun monster brawls, and then the quote-unquote story, which tends to come more so from the humans. But this movie is quite cool, because as soon as Kong meets these other Kong-like animals, these apes who live in the hollow earth. Suko and later on Scar King, who's ruling this new empire with all these other apes.
Yeah.
That's where I feel we get a lot of the actual story of this movie coming in. It almost takes a step into Planet of the Apes territory a little bit.
It feels so different to a Godzilla movie or even any of the MonsterVerse movies, right?
Because
right from the get-go, we're kind of from monster POV this time around. We're just following Kong as he's reacting to his daily life and he's thrown into this crazy situation. Yeah. And he's kind of our main focal point for the whole movie. It's just what he's struggling with and who he's having to go up against. And the humans are kind of there, but it's done so perfectly. I think this is the movie that's nailed what I want the MonsterVerse movies to be like. Like real cool, real fun monster stuff, heaps of fights. And then the humans are there, but it's such a small cast. They're all likable, fun characters that just have some really good jokes, interact with each other, serve a purpose for the story.
So you loved all the human characters?
Yeah, I did.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, man.
I'm with you on Eileen, Dr. Eileen. She's great. I love Gia in the last movie. She was fantastic. And I know that the character of Bernie can be hit or miss for a lot of people. And I think you need a bit of Bernie in moderation. But I think they're real to him enough here.
What is Bernie's, his whole thing in this movie is he's kind of the one, or he was part of the group in Godzilla versus Kong that helped stop Mechagodzilla, helped save the world almost.
But he's been, he's talking about it on his podcast, but he's just being called a liar and a hoax by all of his listeners.
So he really doesn't do a single thing in this movie. He's just there to be like, oh, I'm going to capture these monsters. Let's have a fun time.
I mean, that's what Ghidorah Stan 64 wants you to think. I kind of liked his perspective on this a bit more, because when he gets to the Hollow Earth, he brings out his trusty camcorder and he's so set on just recording and documenting everything so he can use it to prove to all of those haters out there of his podcast.
Can we talk about Bernie's recording gear, like his kit? First off, he's recording his podcast. He's sitting like 5 feet away from his condenser mic. Like, what are you doing, Bernie? You're doing the Tide and Truthers podcast. You're not even recording yourself, right? And then why is he filming on like a camcorder from the early 2000s when he's in the Hollow Earth?
It's harder to CGI and add VFX to that older footage. You know, it's so low quality, harder to fake.
But like, they're supposed to be in the future from where even we are now, like in the mid to late 2020s. Why doesn't he pull out his phone?
Bro, we've talked about his...
We've got grainy camcorder footage.
We've talked about his podcasting habits before. I wouldn't step within 5 feet of a guy who has 3-minute podcast episodes.
Yeah, you're right. Bernie, what are you doing?
Sorry, man. Bernie, I love you.
Bernie, we're here for any tips.
I am surprised that at the end of the movie, he didn't end up changing his perspective and, like, I don't know, chucking away that video camera.
Yeah, because
it felt like that where it was leading a little bit.
Trapper is like, hey, Bernie, dude, don't document the Hollow Earth. They're iwi living here. If you release any of that footage, how these iwi are not going to be kept safe and special, and we're going to interrupt their way of living, and we're going to kind of destroy what they've built here.
Are there any isolated tribes that, like, maintain their culture untainted?
And it's funny because Bernie's like, oh, well, I didn't think about that. And then straight away he goes to filming himself again.
Yeah.
And then we don't even have like a proper ending with the human cast.
There's not really a resolution there, is there?
No wrap up. Like the huge Titan battle happens at the end and then the movie just finishes. Like we don't see.
There's a little bit with like Eileen and Gia.
Yeah.
A little bit of a resolution to their story. But I mean, do you need a resolution for Trapper?
Nah. I love Trapper.
Kaiju veterinarian.
I love Dan Stevens. He's just, he's all you need him to be. Like, he's just the perfect little character to chuck in a movie.
You start this off and you feel like he's going to be this, another, like, classic MonsterVerse comedic relief character. But I feel like even the other characters just treat him with a little more respect. And it makes you, as the viewer, feel a little more, I don't know, a little more nicer towards him.
But he's a little bit loopy. He's really
a bit naturalistic in some ways.
Yeah. But he had some real funny scenes. I like the duo of him and Bernie, like just from the get-go, they're kind of like thumbs upping each other and like bantering with one another and then like joking that they're about to kiss one another and like patting each other on the back every other scene. Like, it's,
you can tell that they're having a lot of fun as actors in this movie.
Yeah. So yeah, I really loved how they tackled the humans this time around.
Because they also do bring in the whole aspect of the, not the Phosphera tribe, not the Iwi who worship the Phos, who worship Phosphera. For those of you who don't know,
yeah,
in all the leaks building up to this movie, Mothra is in this movie.
Mothra makes her return.
It's a fact. Mothra is in this movie.
In this film, yeah.
There was like a placeholder kaiju for a good period there, Phosphera.
Well, I don't even know. Watching the movie now, I don't even know if it's a placeholder. There were rumors and leaks going around online before this movie released, everyone. And it was saying that there was originally a new MonsterVerse monster called Phosphera, who was kind of this angelic being, this angelic monster.
It's more bird-like monster.
Bird-like.
Feathery.
Stands on two legs almost. And apparently Phosphera was in the film when they showed it at test screenings for test audiences, and they really didn't like Phosphera and were just clamoring for Mothra. So the story goes, and the leaks and the rumors all went, that Legendary took that advice and then completely changed Phosphera, like edited her out, put in Mothra, changed the whole story to make it Mothra instead of Phosphera.
I've also heard that they tried having Phosphera in production because they originally wanted Mothra and couldn't get the rights. That's a little bit of hearsay, but I feel like watching this movie, like, there are remnants of Phosphera, for sure. There are these, like, scenes in the movie where the humans go into this, like, mural-filled cave, and Dr. Eileen is able to translate the whole history of, like, the apes who live in the Hollow Earth, how there's this ruler named Scar King and how he wanted to conquer the surface, and what did they call Godzilla?
They called him the monster who ate the stars or something like that.
The monster who ate a star. How he was the one who trapped them and kept them confined to the Hollow Earth. And while they're talking about it, in like the corner of your vision, you can see this one other mural with this feathery kaiju that doesn't even really get talked about.
Yeah, because it's so weird how they do it. And us knowing about Phosphera, us telling you guys about it, it's probably going to ruin some aspects of the movie for you, because it's crazy, man. They go in the movie, the humans from Monarch go to see they discover this last remaining Iwi tribe. And the Iwi tribe's whole thing almost is that they've got this monster on their side, this almost deity. And in the movie, it's Mothra. And Gia needs to like awaken Mothra and use her to help the Iwi save the Hollow Earth, which I think is called like the Subterranean Realm.
Subterranean, yeah, something like that.
But
You needed someone who was an Iwi from Skull Island.
But it's so weird because in Godzilla King of the Monsters, Mothra dies. In that movie, we also see that Mothra first has to be an egg, then a larva, then she grows into her like imago form, her moth form.
And there were references to like the Shobujin as well.
Yeah, it felt like they were setting up the Shobujin, which are these two twins that classically throughout all the Godzilla movies like interact and psychically speak for Mothra.
Yeah.
And it's so weird that they've now like taken this Iwi tribe in the Hollow Earth. They all speak psychically. They are the ones who kind of talk to and control Mothra. It's almost like it just very weirdly plays and like stuffs up the Mothra mythos a little bit and like reinvents it when they've already kind of been setting it up another way.
Yeah. Like they reinvented it a little bit for the MonsterVerse. And I wish that we got that side of things fleshed out a bit more.
The Shobujin.
Yeah. But you end up with Gia being like the speaker for Mothra. It's never really explained why she needs to be there. She goes up to the top of this like crystal pyramid and calls for Mothra. And she appears out of like golden spirals of light.
No egg, no lava.
No.
But it sucks because every single time the main cast talk about Mothra or say Mothra's name, it cuts to like them talking just to one another, like shots of their faces, clearly the characters, the actors saying and interacting with one another. Every time they go to say Mothra, it cuts away to like a mural of Mothra or just like a landscape shot of the Hollow Earth while they say Mothra's name and talk about her before it snaps back to the cast. So it's clearly all like ADR. Like they clearly went back, edited Phosphera fully out, got them to redub their lines talking about Mothra instead of Phosphera. And knowing that while you're watching, I just couldn't, like, it took me out so much. Yeah. I was like, oh, here's where they edited Phosphira to Mothra. Here's where Phosphira would have been, but they edited Mothra.
There's a scene later on in the movie where Mothra comes to the surface, and, like, there's just so much, like, light and lens flares. Mothra appears and both Kong and Godzilla are like shocked by the brightness. It almost pulses out at them, and you're like, this isn't classically something that Mothra would do.
No.
It's okay though. I think if you weren't aware of the production behind it, it wouldn't be as annoying.
Yeah, and in saying all that, I like the Mothras in the film. I think Mothra looks so cool in this.
Mm.
Because in Godzilla King of the Monsters, we didn't really get a clear shot of her or weren't able to see her too much, only in shadow and mist and clouds and the quickest glimpses every now and again. But we fully get full shots of Mothra in this. She's more furry. She's more orange. She's making classic Mothra, like, Showa sounds, which is really cool. Yeah.
And I feel like almost echoing some of the Rebirth of Mothra movies, you get like a lot of, I don't know, golden glowy Mothra.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see. And I feel like she does have a little bit of combat here, but she is very much hyped up to be this mediator between Godzilla and Kong.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to get Godzilla on your side unless you have Mothra.
Mothra there to sort it out, which is exactly what they did in the Showa era.
Yeah. It just makes me real curious as to what Phosphira would have been like in that role.
Yeah.
And if we're going to see her again.
Yeah. It's a bit of an oddity. It's a bit of an oddity to be for this movie to have fully swapped out a monster like that. But in talking about monsters, that we've talked for like half an hour on the humans and the human stuff. This movie's fully focused on the monsters, as we said.
Mm.
Kong is our hero, and it's following him as he's really almost depressed, looking for a friend.
Yeah, he's just having to fight for his life in the Hollow Earth.
Having the worst days, just getting chased by a whole lot of dogs. I think they're called watchdogs.
Watchdogs. It's so funny how he like grabs one for a meal and he just sits down real depressed, and then Titanus Doug comes and steals his meal.
This little
he's got a
creature.
Toothache.
Yeah.
He's sad, man.
Can we talk about Doug? Just real briefly, because Doug was this little lizard creature that fans turned into a meme from Godzilla vs. Kong.
He was real hyped up to be in this movie.
There's a lot of merchandise of Doug. I bought the Doug action figure. You are holding it right now.
Right now. Guys, if you're a Doug hater, never fear. He's in this movie for like 2 seconds.
2 seconds. He grabs a piece of meat off of Kong and then disappears. Steals Kong's meal. Which was real funny because I was concerned they were going to make Bernie or someone in this movie be like, oh, that's Doug. Let's name that lizard Doug. And then Doug would be this
3-minute Doug sequence.
Yeah, Doug would be throughout the whole movie. But they kind of just use the Doug name and the Doug character for marketing, it feels like, to sell a whole lot of toys. And he's not even in the film at all.
Everyone's a big fan of Doug now.
Yeah. So I laughed at that part. Kong's, yeah, depressed at the start of this movie. It was great because there's another new creature. I think it's called the parrot frog. He hears a Godzilla-like roar.
I'd say even another Kong-like roar.
Just he hears some sort of monster, and you can see him get so excited that someone else is there, and he runs to go and find them, and then it's this frog that's just making noises. And this whole film, the heart and soul of it is just Kong wanting a friend, wanting family.
For sure, and I feel like it's really exciting, actually, when this chasm opens up underground and he makes his way to the subterranean hollow Earth.
Yeah. Becomes classic Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah, and he starts to see evidence of these other apes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think it was going to go in this direction, but first when they come out, they're all antagonistic towards him. You see Suko and Sukon's fully like fighting him.
Well, a mini Kong.
A mini Kong?
Suko. The mini Kong.
The first thing that mini Kong does is bite Kong's finger.
Yeah.
And you get less like, you get this great little fight scene between Kong and some of the other apes. And they're made to be these like real haggard, real like starved, almost zombie-like beings.
Yeah.
Versions of Kong. And it's just so great. He brings his axe down and he's starting to fight these other ones. And there's like a full-on 15-second segment where he just grabs Suko and starts using him to like real brutally whack these other apes.
He's whacking Suko's skull into these other apes' heads. And it I don't know how they did it. It feels really impactful and kinetic and like it's really hurting Zuko and hurting all these apes. Zuko's just getting flung around.
The whole cinema's laughing, but it's almost like on edge type of laughter where, yeah, it's funny, genuinely wondering if Zuko's going to be alive by the end of this sequence.
Mini Kong should be dead after that.
It seems like this where, I don't know, I feel for this movie, the way that they have done the Kong scene specifically, it's almost like, yeah, it's from Kong's point of view. You forget the fact that these are all titans, kaiju at some points.
Yeah.
And like, you forget that Zuko is just a giant little monkey.
It's because the way it's shot as well, and the way that the Hollow Earth is there are trees in the Hollow Earth that kind of feel like like plants that feel like they're the same size they would be for us, but they're that size for Kong and Zuko.
That being said, you do see like some little trees as well.
Yeah, but they also move fast. Like they move lifelike. Whereas in the other MonsterVerse movies, we're seeing it from human perspectives and they're slowed down.
Mm.
And the monster battles are always kind of in slow-mo and feel a lot more weighty and bulky. Where in this, it feels like, yeah, Planet of the Apes or like a superhero movie almost, how fast and quick the action scenes are.
And I do think it is a good comparison to some of those later Showa movies. Like if you do want to compare it to Jaguar or versus Megalon.
Real WWE wrestling.
Yeah, where it almost feels normal for it to be a little more quicker paced and faster.
Yeah.
A little bit more speedy.
Yeah, but I even love that scene with Kong versus all those apes because from Kong's perspective, he just wants friends and he sees these guys and he's like, man, I've found apes. And they just like horrifically attack him straight away.
And
he saves one of their lives and then that one he saves just tries to stab him in the face.
Yeah, it's great. After this, Zuko ends up like begrudgingly coming along with Kong and you get this almost God of War sequence. With Kong as
Kratos.
And Zuko as Atreus. He's got his beard, he's got his axe. And Zuko's great here. He ends up just being this little golem-like character for a good portion, where he's like kind of trying to even get Kong killed.
Yeah. It's a fun dynamic for Kong to have this little son or little boy, little brother almost,
who he knows is trying to get him into trouble.
Yeah.
He brings him along to this open lake and this like a sea serpent comes out. Kong ends up killing it, but he's still like actively giving some of the body as food to Zuko.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see like a little relationship build up between them, especially when we get to that segment where we do see the actual, is this the new empire?
I don't know if this is the Scar King's apes of the new empire or if the Iwi tribe of the new empire or what Scar King was going to do to the surface world would have been the new empire. Mm.
We see Scar King's current empire.
Yeah.
Where he has enslaved all of these Kong-like creatures who are, what are they building? If they've been down here for thousands and thousands of years.
They're just moving rocks. They're moving rocks around, carting rocks, giving one another rocks, getting whipped if they don't
carry the rocks.
Carry the rocks in the right way. Like, rocks are important.
Rock and stone.
You can do a lot of stuff with rocks and stones, and if they don't do the right stuff with them, Scar King gets mad. So, yeah, you got to love how they're all just moving rocks mindlessly around and Scar King's just sitting on his throne, not talking to anyone, not doing anything. He's not on his phone passing time. He's just sitting there.
I didn't even know what they were trying to build.
What a boring life for Scar King. Just sitting on his throne, just watching.
For the leader of an empire, you think he'd try and make life a little more stimulating, at least for himself, right?
Yeah. Just the worst king, if this is what your empire looks like piles of rocks. Great job, Scar King.
Great job, Scar King.
Really great job. Like Cleopatra, you're right up there with her, you know?
One of the greats.
Like one among the pharaohs for the amount of work you did. Like the pyramids, Scar King's piles of rocks. Right?
Yeah, equivalent to each other.
And what's even worse is behind his lava waterfall, he's chained up Shimo. And Shimo's this frost, huge new addition to the MonsterVerse, new monster, this huge frost four-legged dragon.
It's like a dragon frost dog.
Yeah, and she's chained up, and I feel for her because these apes are just moving around rocks. Scar King's just sitting on his throne. Shimo's just locked away, probably her whole life, behind this waterfall of lava. What is she doing with her time?
How is she getting fed there?
Why does Scar King have this crystal that can control her when... Well, what is he controlling her to do? There's nothing made of ice down there.
You're right.
What is the point of having Shimo?
He's just power hungry. He likes knowing that he can do whatever.
He likes knowing he has Shimo. He likes knowing he has rocks.
It's like you see these millionaires who are... Like, their net worth is billions and billions of dollars. Nah. What did you think of Scar King here? Because he was like the first thing we got when the new empire was teased.
I'm joking around, but I loved Scar King.
Yeah?
I didn't know if I would, like, kind of cliche just to have this other monkey make him look like an orangutan. I think they did it really creatively. I love the way when he gets up from his throne, he drags his arms. Like, he's so floppy and lanky and scary almost and unpredictable. The way he did his eyes, I really loved it. Because in Kong's eyes and in the other apes' eyes, they look human-like almost. Like, they have emotion.
The thing I do for him, like, the other apes, you can see their pupils. They're all black.
Yeah.
But for Scar King, it's almost like a light is constantly being shined into his eyes and reflecting back at you.
Yeah, real ghost-like or zombie-like almost, which I thought was just a real cool creative choice.
I would say that's what he ends up being. He ends up feeling almost like this zombie Kong the entire time. He's so lanky, and I really like that about him because I really like him. He ends up, like, there's a scene where the two of them, Kong and Scar King, just like... try and size each other up. They're looking at each other. And Scar King ends up being quite a bit shorter than Kong, a lot skinnier. And you would think that Kong is much more visually imposing and threatening. But there's something about Scar King. He's got this almost like this bandolier of a spine, this huge chain whip. But he's almost like a loose cannon.
Yeah.
Like something could snap at any point and just set him off. And it does, right? He ends up just kicking this random ape off the side of a cliff.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's real lifelike. Like, Mike, if you were in an alleyway and you saw this big, bulky guy with a big, gruff beard and an axe, you'd be pretty terrified.
I would be
more scared if there was a super skinny, super lanky dude with ghost-like zombie eyes who's kind of like jittering and like tilting his head towards you?
I would be just as scared.
I'd be more scared.
In the latter case, I would start running sooner.
Yeah. Pulls out his big spine whip.
Yeah, at that point. And it's great. He's got the spine whip with... I don't know what you'd call it, Shimo's crystal on the end.
Yeah.
That he ends up just pointing in this real, like, crazy way.
It's like he's casting a spell.
Yeah,
like
he's almost like
Voldemort.
Voldemort. I was going to say the one who shall not be named. He ends up using it like Voldemort's casting his wand. And I love whenever he does that, it's like he's got this power over Shimo. Whenever he does that, you see her just, like, instantly flop to the floor.
Yeah, you see her... get hurt by it, or like begrudgingly, like she hates being under his control. They show how from the get-go she's not this evil creature. She is just fully enslaved and controlled by Scar King.
Yeah, it's great. You see Shimo start blasting off at Kong. He gets some frostbite in his hand, and the humans,
this is the big thing that they do.
Yep. Yeah.
Trapper?
It's Trapper who brings it up. Hey.
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, such a shame that he got frostbite in his right arm. Hey, Dr. Eileen, do you think it's time to bring out
Operation Powerhouse.
And guys, you're not ready for what Operation Powerhouse is.
Yeah, like, okay. All right, MonsterVerse, slow down.
It's defunct. It's not in progress anymore. It's been scrapped. It's been archived.
Mike, wait, slow down. They're in the hollow earth, right?
Are they in the hollow earth?
They're in the subterranean. Oh, no, they're not.
No, they're just in the hollow earth.
Okay, wait. Hear me out.
It's like the layers of hell here. You have to keep track.
They're in the hollow earth. Kong has a raw, scarred up arm with just irreparable nerve damage. It's making him unconscious, the amount of pain he's in.
Yep.
And then Trapper's like, wow, man, we're sorted.
We're sorted.
Real conveniently, Eileen, there's this little Monarch outpost, which we have a fully
stocked armory.
Fully stocked armory. And we just happen to have this power glove for Kong. And you know what?
Operation Powerhouse is?
Yeah.
It's a mechanically augmented glove that we specifically built for Kong. Not just for his hand, the one area of his body that is scarred up and frostbitten.
Yeah.
But specifically for his right hand.
Yeah, and you know what? We just equipped it with...
It's a defunct project, don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It got cancelled, but we have it here, and you know what?
In full working condition.
You know what we also had? We had little drugs, little huge, not little, huge little capsules.
Full vials of stimulant
vials
and adrenaline.
Of adrenaline and stuff that will heal him right up so that his...
So much so he forgets about his arm almost instantly.
Yeah, he's right back up, ready to fight.
Wow.
Wow, Monarch.
What did you think of the whole power glove side of things? Because I feel like it's almost like the big thing when they start talking about it. It's like, oh my gosh, what is Operation Powerhouse? All of us who've seen the trailer immediately know what it is.
I love this franchise getting fun. I love seeing Kong and Godzilla running with Godzilla having pink scoots and Kong having a power glove. Like it's cool, right?
Sells action figures is what it does.
Yeah, but that's my big negative with this film is everything, once again, is just so convenient.
Yeah.
Everything, the plot, like there's nothing in the plot that could happen to any of these creatures or any of these characters that couldn't be fixed with a flick of their fingers, a snap of their fingers, a click of their fingers, snap of their fingers.
Snap, crackle, pop of their fingers.
Like any problem that comes up, Kong is going to lose his arm. He is just unconscious. Oh, we already have a solution in place for that. Oh, we don't know what these waves are coming from in my daughter's dreams out of the hollow earth. Bernie's like, oh, well, there's this state and this state and this state, and it all means that someone's sending an SOS from the hollow earth.
The drawings that she's been doing match up perfectly with our electronic waveforms. It's probably the worst example because it is an epic moment, but in the final battle, when Kong can't reach Shimo's crystal, who comes out of the portal to the Hollow Earth but Zuko holding Kong's axe just in time?
Well, even right above the Iwi tribe, conveniently, there's a portal right above them that Scar King can use to get up right there conveniently to the surface, and everyone can come right down from. Everything's set up so conveniently.
Yeah.
And I wish there were just more stakes. Like, I wish Kong might, like, he's getting messed up. He might lose an arm.
I feel like, you know what? I feel like they should have just properly cut off his arm for this one.
I mean, you were, in our previous episodes, I remember you said when you were like, Kong might die in this.
Yeah.
You were thinking they were going to full on, but nope. Everyone's safe.
Apart from Scar King, no one.
Oh.
Sorry, Mikhail. We forgot about Mikhail, guys.
Well, I mean, let's talk about Godzilla's the big guy we haven't talked about. And it might be because this is a Kong movie. I feel like that's what a lot of fans feared, is that this wouldn't focus too much on Godzilla. Godzilla does take a backseat.
I know, I think it's fine.
I think it works really well as well.
They're both just as impactful.
Yeah, but Godzilla, it flashes back to him every once in a while and telling his side of the story, which is he's gaining power.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. The first part of this movie, we see a little bit of the Hollow Earth, but then we see a full-on fight between Godzilla and...
Skylar? Skylar?
Skylar.
Skylar.
I think it's Skylar.
The spider-like creature, the Spider-Ood.
Spider-Ood. And later on, we see him go to the Arctic and face off against Tiamat.
Yeah.
Another frost serpent, frost-type kaiju.
These are monsters that they've built up in the Monsterverse, built up within the Monsterverse comics. I feel like fans have been clamoring for more of them and to see their roles grow in the Monsterverse. And it's so funny that Godzilla, like...
Each of their fights are like 30 seconds.
We don't even get a proper fight scene with either of them. Godzilla, like, runs up to each one, blasts them with his atomic breath. They die. They explode.
I think it does a good job at showing just how powerful Godzilla's become.
It's just so funny. Some of the Monsterverse's wholly original created monsters just... Godzilla kills them both. It was great.
I will say, though, like, even though these initial ones are short, every single kaiju battle in this movie just packs so much punch in it.
Visually, they're great, eh?
Yeah. I feel like not so much the one with Skylar, but Tiamat has, like, some really cool little short moments when Tiamat, like, uses her face coverings, almost like Baragon has,
yeah,
to cover and almost start suffocating Godzilla.
Yeah, that was fun.
And yeah, Kong has one with the serpent. He fights against some of the other apes. But when things start coming together, whoo, that's when things start really coming together.
yeah, indeed it is when they start coming together. We do get another quick scene with Godzilla early on when he is kind of pulsating blue and he is siphoning. He's like attacking a nuclear power plant to get power from it.
This is when all like the fighter jets are attacking him for no reason.
Why? Why this far into the MonsterVerse, when Godzilla has saved you countless times, you understand that there's a hierarchy of things, the Titans and humans must coexist. Why the first instant Godzilla's attacking this, like out of the middle of nowhere, no one's going to get hurt, this power plant. Yeah. Why do you just attack him and start shooting at him?
This radioactive area, and then Godzilla's sucking up the radiation.
Just
doing the Earth a favor.
It's Rachel House, right? From Monarch. She's the one who told them to go and do this.
I don't know.
What are these Monarch directors doing?
But it gets to a point,
yeah,
where Kong knows,
yeah,
Scar King's coming. He and Zuko have to try go to Egypt. Rio de Janeiro?
Kong Egypt. Goes to Egypt.
He goes to Egypt. Yeah. He calls for Godzilla. And Godzilla and Kong have to go toe-to-toe near the pyramids. And this is one of the coolest fights, I think, even of the whole MonsterVerse.
It's just such a funny fight because Kong wants to get Godzilla to help him and Kong's like waving his hands and
Godzilla's just full on sprinting at him.
Get Godzilla to stop and Godzilla's just wants to kill Kong. He's out for Kong. Kong stepped foot on the surface, he's gonna die.
This is so great. They actually throw, like, I'm not into wrestling, but I know some wrestling moves when I see them.
Yeah.
I can't name them, but there are some good wrestling moves in here.
And then once again, mirroring in the Showa era Godzilla films, when Godzilla and Rodan get into a fight and Mothra comes to mediate and make them understand they're on the same side, she does the exact same in this movie. She gets in the middle of Godzilla and Kong and gets them to go into the Hollow Earth together. And this was my favorite fight when they jump through the portal into the Hollow Earth. Scar King is riding Shimo. Kong and Godzilla like run up to them. Kong jumps onto Godzilla for a bit and they just jump at each other. And then everything turns like anti-gravity.
Yeah, this is something to do with that area of the Hollow Earth. They have these crystal pyramids and the Iwi there, they can like set off this anti-gravity shockwave for a few minutes. And it leads to this huge fight where it's not just those four, but you have Zuko, you have some of the other monsters, you have so many of the other apes. It's just this.
You have Mothra.
This is like a full anti-gravity war scene going on.
Yeah.
A whole battlefield.
It reminded me of the Godzilla movies where you just have like an all monsters attack or a destroy all monsters. A movie that's just full of so many monsters. It was really fun just to see Godzilla like smash into Shimo and go up against her for a bit. And then he like gets pushed away from her and has to go up against Scar King for a little bit. And
yeah,
Zuko's getting thrown between all the monsters.
It's a real smart way to try and make a lot of different monster interactions in such a short period of time.
And it was just so fun. I think I don't agree with a lot of the Showa era comparisons. Like this movie is just the opposite of Minus One. It's silly and stupid back to some of the Showa era stuff. Because I don't think the Showa era was completely silly and stupid. It had some silly stuff in there. It had some real serious stuff.
It does, yeah, it does hurt that that's kind of what the Showa era has become known for in like the past yeah. year or so.
But I do see the Showa era comparisons in the sense that the Showa era was definitely a lot more out there with its ancient civilizations and random fights that are sometimes on the moon or sometimes there's an ancient civilization living under the sea. Like, I love that aspect with the Iwi being real alien in this and having a huge like room when they've got a giant crystal and it's just so different to what we're used to in the MonsterVerse.
It feels very alien in the sense of, yeah, it feels very different.
Yeah. And that all the monsters are just fighting in anti-gravity. Like, the MonsterVerse, it feels like it's stuck to realism a lot up to this point, which I thought was fun.
Even that, like, You have, I feel like comparisons to Final Wars aren't made enough. Final Wars still feels like leagues further down the crazy path than this movie does.
The Indy Showa movie as well. Like, Sonny Godzilla, get out of here when there's Final Wars.
Yeah.
You know?
Thinking about King Caesar diving for.
Or even
Anguirus,
like
the soccer ball.
Even Godzilla versus Megaguirus, when Godzilla's doing body slams onto Megaguirus and time is freezing while he's chewing off her tail. Like, all of Godzilla has its wacky moments, and I think this just embodies a lot of those, which was real fun.
Yeah, it embraces it, and it still like tries to explain some of it, even if it's in like a very unrealistic way at times.
Yeah,
it at least puts a little bit of effort in, which I appreciate.
And after the anti-gravity fight, everyone goes through the portal. I just love the idea of all these monsters one by one getting flung onto a beach and into the water and into a building.
This was probably my favorite scene visually in the whole film.
Yeah.
Because this is the one that happens in Rio.
This is Rio de Janeiro, yeah.
Where this portal opens up underneath the water and it starts off, you see, it's almost like a camera shot going through a wave near some surfers. And the camera's rolling around and then the wave becomes frozen and you see like Shimo's body being thrown up and breaking all the ice. And then Scar King appears on the beach and you can see just this like power hungry nature of his start to come into his eyes.
Yeah.
And another thing I think this movie does really well is it actually shows like quite a lot of just human destruction. It doesn't focus on it, but it's just happening all the time in the background.
Which is another thing, like all Godzilla movies from Toho did, is we got miniature destruction scenes that didn't really focus on the humans.
Yeah.
Whereas the Monsterverse up to this point has focused on the humans. This time, buildings are just getting used as weapons and are getting flung around and getting like, hit by the power glove.
This fight absolutely has the highest death count of any.
More than Godzilla versus Kong, you reckon?
I'd say absolutely. At least that movie had a chance for them to like evacuate from the city.
Run through the alleys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Everyone's either frozen in this, right? They're all frozen or dead.
I can't remember who it is, but once either Shimo or Godzilla comes out of the portal, you just see this huge beam cross so many of like the skyscrapers over here. And you're just like, oh my gosh, they're all gone.
And this is such a fun fight too, because Godzilla's going up against Shimo. Kong's going up against Scar King with some real just out there moments, again with his power glove, his powerhouse, and Scar King's whip.
Scar King's tooth getting punched out.
Yeah, that was a fun callback.
You see it like get thrown onto the ground.
And yeah, it's really well set up and choreographed, if you can call it that, fight scenes where Godzilla ends up helping out against Scar King, and then Shimo, when the Suko comes through and destroys the crystal, Shimo helps up against Scar King.
It's cool to see Shimo end up as this like good character turned bad, but end up back on the good side of things. Who was your favorite kaiju? Because there were actually a lot in this movie. Did you have a favorite?
Yeah, I mean, there was Godzilla, Kong, Mothra, Scar King, Shimo, Tiamat, Skylar, Suko, Doug. We saw, again, the war dogs, the parrot frog, the war bats. There were other new creatures like the big pteranodon type yellow and black striped things that had an electric charge.
Yeah, there was the big water serpent again. Yeah. And like you see skeletons of these gigantic, even in comparison to Kong creatures.
It'll be a kaiju for Kong. Yeah. You know what? I really liked Scar King.
Yeah.
I really liked him. He's just had a... I thought he was going to be kind of unoriginal, but he ended up just the way they managed to embody this character, just the way they were able to make him feel like his own thing and make him feel just a little bit off and unpredictable, I thought was real cool to see in a movie like this.
Yeah, it's great.
But again, I liked Suko too. Suko is a bit nicer to look at than Manila, I will admit. He's a bit cuter.
How dare you,
Jason? I didn't say I prefer. I don't prefer looking at nicer things to ugly things. But
can someone please?
Wait, I'll ride or die for Manila. But I'm saying Suko was just really fun. Every scene is in his face, his
faces very expressive.
He's making at Kong, him pulling a little boulder and chucking it at someone, or flinging the axe to chuck it at something. It was just real fun because he was doing something in every scene that was just funny to look at. It was great.
It's good.
But who did you like?
I think, surprisingly, I liked Godzilla in this.
Really?
Yeah. I think that I mean, we were all skeptical of not only the pink Godzilla, but also the skinny Godzilla.
Yeah.
When the trailers came out of this. But by the end of the movie, like, it just made sense. It feels natural, weirdly enough. And seeing, like, Godzilla's heat rays and all of his powers and what he's doing, he feels like he's one of the most powerful iterations we've seen him in.
I loved how his spikes kind of look like they have veins in them almost.
Yeah.
And whenever he lets out his atomic breath now, it like stuff comes out of his eyes as well as his mouth. It's pretty cool.
It's so good. I'm real curious because at this point we don't know if there's going to be another movie in the MonsterVerse or not.
There wasn't even an after credits scene or anything.
Yeah. It's a little up in the air, but I hope there is, and I really hope that we see some continuity. I'd love to see Pink Godzilla yet again.
Well, it feels like this didn't really have an epilogue or didn't wrap a lot of things up nicely, but it ended with Godzilla going back to sleep on the surface.
In the Rome Colosseum.
Rome Colosseum. And with Kong, like, patting Shimo, like, he's friendly with Shimo now.
Yeah, he's almost like taken over as ruler.
He's got Shimo, he's got Suko, he's got his new family and all these apes.
That would be the new empire. That makes sense.
Hey, that we got there in the end. It's Kong's new empire all along.
Yeah.
But it feels like they've kind of separated the Earth and the Hollow Earth now, and each has its cast of monsters and kaiju.
Like, you could for sure leave this in a place where a next movie could easily be a solo Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Or a solo Kong movie with him and Shimo and Suko are finding another threat in the Hollow Earth that they're just dealing with themselves instead of getting Godzilla in on it this time. Because Mothra's in the Hollow Earth too now with the Iwi
tribe. You've got a whole cast of characters down there.
Yeah. But I mean, we've talked about this movie enough. Should we just go into some final thoughts? You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'll just go through my last few notes that I typed down on my phone with the brightness on very low with one hand, and most of them have text errors because
I saw you tapping
away. You saw me tapping away. In the
hiding from the theater
hiding
chaperones.
From the woman next to me who was giving me a side eye. I loved the score. The synth score in this. It just comes in. It feels so good. The synth, like 80s vibes when Trapper shows up or when Godzilla and Kong like roll into a place together.
It's cool to see them embrace that feel to this movie. Like the last one was very neon. This movie just feels very synthy, and it was great that they ended up reflecting that in the music as well.
Yeah, it was great. And even just the song choices, I think there's the Welcome to My World song as the movie starts off. Trapper sings a song as he comes in the first time. It adds to the fun feel of the whole film. I love how there were a lot of times where the visuals that just got really creative, where Kong would be ripping a monster open on top of him and green blood would be spraying everywhere and a bit of it even gets smeared on the camera, or water gets stuck onto the camera lens, or ice, like half of the camera lens frosts up with ice.
Mm.
They're just playing really creatively with those kind of visuals, and I really enjoyed them. Why did Godzilla evolve? His whole thing is he's needing to power up to evolve. What urged him on to do that?
Adolescence.
He's just got to that. He's finally gone through puberty.
Yeah.
This is grown up Godzilla.
This is like his teenager phase right now. The hormones have kicked in. He's gone full pop punk.
Yeah, I mean that's on my notes. I had a fun time with this. I was genuinely smiling the whole time. A lot of the quips between human characters were cracking me up a lot more than it's done in the other MonsterVerse movies. I think the fights are really great. I loved having faster fights with, I don't know, a bigger range of different monsters and different weapons and different ways for them to fight one another. I thought it was cool. My biggest letdown, though, is just that a lot of it feels so convenient. Again, Godzilla's evolving. We don't know why, but it's happening. These human characters are conveniently in this place and conveniently find the SOS flare and conveniently have this thing for Kong. Everything kind of happens. There's no real stakes, and it is just kind of this perfect popcorn, fun popcorn flick of monsters punching one another. Even the plot line of Kong and the apes down in the subterranean realm, I feel like, I mean, we've mentioned Planet of the Apes so many times. I feel like the Planet of the Apes movies do that kind of plot line better than this.
Mm.
Like, something that even Godzilla versus Kong did real well is the connection between Kong and Gia got pretty emotional. They were using sign language to one another. They were really connecting to one another. We saw Kong's humanity come out.
And it almost felt like Gia was like the speaker for Kong. Those two had their own thing.
In this, that's kind of all blown aside. I didn't feel Gia or Kong's connection really at all in this. Kong and her sign language, he didn't even really use sign language at all in this movie. And
he said he lost his home.
Yeah, he said one thing. But he doesn't connect to any of these other apes. He doesn't really even have an emotional moment with Zuko. He just hands him a piece of food, you know?
It definitely felt like there should have been a couple more key other Kong characters.
Yeah.
Actual apes.
Yeah, this film was just so fast-paced and punchy that it never really slowed down or gave us much to care about, a reason to care about Kong, stakes that anything bad might happen to him, because we know that Monarch's there to save the day. I still prefer Godzilla versus Kong.
Mm.
I think for all the lame human stuff in that one, the plot made a bit more sense, and I think I preferred the big bombastic fights in that than just constant smattering of little ones in this.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm probably at, you know, if I was to pick up Zuko, I've got this little action figure of Zuko right here.
Yeah.
I'm picking him up. I'm flinging him around into different things probably 3 times, and I'll do another half a swing, and then I'll stop because I care about Zuko. He's my boy. I'm going to rate this 3.5 out of 5.
Enough room to keep him living.
Yeah, I'll keep Zuko alive.
Just on the edge of death.
Yeah. What did you think about the movie?
Good question. Now, I for sure see a lot of those cons for the movie.
Cons for the movie, yeah.
Very convenient in a lot of places. I thought that they just made a lot of smart decisions too, though. Like bringing the central cast of human characters down was great. I think that at this point in the MonsterVerse, it makes sense to like open the world up and explore a few of these other titans, a bit more of the Hollow Earth. And it just gives the kaiju a lot more room to have their own stories going on, which I love. And even just fully embracing being on the bit more, I mean, you said bombastic to describe Godzilla versus Kong. I think it suits this movie a little bit better. It leans a bit more on the bombastic side, and it feels like the director, Adam Wingard, he just wanted to make a fun monster fighting movie.
Yeah.
And I think he fully succeeded in doing that.
I just wanted something to connect to, though. I just wanted to feel something.
You just wanted to feel something. This movie, I think if you watch it with other people and you're just enjoying it for the spectacle almost, I think it's a real good time.
Mm.
I still don't know if I prefer it to Godzilla versus Kong, because I think they're trying to do two very different things. So you know what? I think I'm going to go with what I rated that movie as well. I think I'm going to pick up Zuko and just whack him around into 4 different things.
Whoa.
Maybe the wall, the desk here, the floor, and then maybe at you.
Ow.
Yeah.
Man.
And then onto the bed to have a rest.
He's hanging on for dear life right now. Look at him. He needs a powerhouse to
give him Operation Powerhouse.
Give him some health back. Give him some vitality. Yeah. I mean,
I'm curious, because I think we can both very easily be riding like the recency bias for this one.
Yeah, I think so. I'd love to revisit this. I think I'll see it again over the weekend.
I'd be curious to watch it again in like, I don't know, half a year, 6 months down the road, I'll watch this movie again and I'll see it with unbiased eyes. But I think we both really enjoyed it still.
Yeah, I had a great time. It's worth watching. I love that we're getting for every like -1 Shin Godzilla, we get a couple MonsterVerse movies like this, and we are just seeing the full spectrum of these giant kaijus affecting the Earth.
Mm.
Another thing that I'm just thinking about now, what was your favorite like set piece from this movie?
Whoa.
Because that's something that I really love in big action-packed movies, is like a set piece or a very memorable moment or specific fight. And I think that might be another problem I have with this, is just it's just so constant and so fluid and something's always happening that there's never really one big arena or one big move or one big fight, like bit in a fight specifically that I'm like, whoa, that was such a cool, that's a memorable moment. When I think of Godzilla X Kong, I'm going to think of that.
I don't know. I think like the Egypt, the pyramids there are like one huge
Kong just going, no.
I mean, there's that full scene where Godzilla was just doing like a 360 with his beam and Kong's just running for dear life behind pyramids and rolling around.
These two pyramids just out in the middle of nowhere, middle of the desert.
With a Sphinx right between. I was wondering, is that just what the Sphinx, like where it is in real life? Is it just between two pyramids?
I don't know.
Man, I've got to do some geography research after this.
Yeah.
If I want to shed some light on it, like I did like what the Iwi's location in the Hollow Earth looked like as well. They had this full-on crystal pyramid. But just outside of that, they had this huge, like, bismuth-like... Do you know what bismuth is?
Never heard that word in my life. You're making it up.
It's this element that forms naturally in the wild, and there's this huge, like, bismuth formation right behind them. I'm going to look it up for you so you can see what it looks like, and you'll immediately be like, oh, yeah.
A bismuth.
A bismuth. That was in the movie.
Yeah, it was a bismuth. Yeah.
That's a bismuth.
That's a bismuth, yeah.
I did a report on bismuth.
Bismuth.
For one of my science classes. Best element out there.
Yeah, I guess that Iwi village looked real cool. I thought the visual effects looked great for the monsters, but I think like it fell a little flat with some of the Iwi stuff whenever the humans are interacting directly with something otherworldly. When there's CGI monster versus CGI monster, it looks great. When there's real person and CGI element that may or may not be have been edited out in post and swapped to something Mothra related, it looks a bit off.
I'm so curious as to like how different the ending of this movie would have been if they sticked with the whole Phosphoria line, because it feels like there was some sort of resolution there. It feels like the end is real choppy.
I don't know.
Release the
Phosphera cut.
Release Godzilla X Kong the New Empire, the Phosphera cut.
Yeah.
I'm holding out for that.
Give us final cut on that. Give us final cut.
Final cut.
Yeah. Or you can make us producer at least.
Adam Wingard, hear our pleas.
But yeah, check out Godzilla X Kong the New Empire while it's in theaters. It'll be cool to support it. Be cool for them to continue this franchise. I'd love to see where they go next. So make sure you see it. And send us your thoughts, podzillapod@gmail.com. We'd love to share your reviews and your thoughts on future episodes of the show. But Micah, I mean, we've talked about it. This is kind of the end of what we originally had planned for Podzilla. We were going to end it all after Godzilla X Kong the New Empire.
Yeah, I mean, we could keep pushing it out. Like, I do want to do an episode where we talk about more so the community sorts about this movie. And I was talking with you earlier, I think we could do like a... You mentioned a mailbag episode.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to do. So, I mean, our plan now, guys, is we're probably going to take a real short mid-season break. Next week, there will not be a Podzilla episode. But you can re-listen to this one if you wanted to, you know. I think we might even have some stuff over on our Patreon. But there's not going to be a main feed episode next week. But the week after that, we thought it would be really fun to do just a mailbag episode.
I don't know how much mail we'll be getting, but we can turn it into like an AMA episode as well.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
We've gone three seasons and we haven't even had like a proper space for you all just to ask questions. So if there's anything you'd like to know about either of us, any of our thoughts that you've had across this entire journey, now's going to be the time to ask it.
Any crazy Godzilla theories or anything you've heard us say of Podzilla you want to bring back up, email us those at podzillapod@gmail.com. There's also a form you can fill out in our episode show notes, episode description.
Send in all the voice memos you want.
Yeah, you can record yourself, attach an MP3 to your email. You can just flick us some text. We're going to spend a whole episode just reading out what you guys want us to talk about.
I think as well there might be something planned for April 1st. Is that right?
Yeah. Keep an eye on our socials around April 1st.
Around April. There will absolutely be something April 1st.
Yeah.
It's not an April Fool's joke, guys. We're not setting you up for failure.
Yeah. There's going to be something April 1st. A huge Podzilla announcement on our socials.
That's
on
right.
April 1st.
That's right.
Huge. And then after the... Man, this is getting convoluted. After this episode...
What's the timeline?
Okay. After this episode, everyone, after this episode, on April 1st, we're going to be announcing a big announcement on
big
our socials. There is not going to be a podcast episode that week, but then the week after, we're going to be releasing an AMA mailbag episode. We're also going to be highlighting your Godzilla X Kong reviews. The week after that, so in like 3 weeks' time, we're going to be announcing what we're doing for the rest of the season. Because we do have some plans.
There are a few things still up in the air, like we've talked about going through Godziban, and they've just announced Chibi Godzilla Raids Again, yeah. Season 2.
Raids Again.
But we've got some things in the works.
So Podzilla isn't going anywhere, but what we're covering might change a little bit, so...
We're going right back from the start.
Right back all over again. Godzilla 1954, here we come.
No, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Anyway, I mean, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. It's been fun chatting with you, Micah. I think we need to get out of this hotel room and head back to Monster Island.
I think we need to have a chat with the G Commander about what's next.
Actually, before we announce it to our listeners, we probably should announce it to G Commander what we're planning to do with Podzilla, see if he approves of our big April 1st announcement as well. I think he's going to like it.
Yeah, I'll put an alarm. I'll put a reminder down on my phone.
Yeah.
Talk to G Commander.
Before we announce it. Publicly.
Yeah, yeah, before we announce it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you could remember just to talk to G Commander, that'll be really great.
Yeah.
Make sure that he knows what we're planning. Because it's going to be big.
It's going to be big. He's going to love it.
Everyone's going to love it. Thanks for listening to Podzilla. Join our Discord server, tag us on Letterboxd, and follow us on socials at PodzillaPod. Links are all in our show notes. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla and get access to extended cuts of every episode and the occasional bonus ep. Huge thank you to Cassie Celine for our seasonal podcast art. And just a disclaimer that all music and additional audio used in this episode belong entirely to the Toho Company.
He's gesticulating so hard right now.
Gesticulating is not a word, and it sounds very close to...
It's a word.
Gesticulating, which probably isn't a word, but it sounds awfully close to testicle.
Gesticulating is this what you're doing right here?
Gesturing? 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 I'm just gesturing right now, Micah. Yo, gesturing. I'm the Podzilla wit. Okay, we got to get the show on the road. Okay.